We had a debate in the election on taxes. We have never had a clearer debate about different approaches to tax cuts, continuing Bush tax cuts versus raising them on the wealthy and having middle class tax cuts. You had Joe the Plumber debate for three weeks. Democrats ended up with double-digit leads on handling taxes.
All right. Democratic pollster Stan Greenberg on ABC This Week yesterday with a little Karl Rove in the background as we are about to hear some of the case for the Obama budget. It's been coming under attack from Republicans, of course. They are the opposition party. And the media in general is raising many pointed questions. That's the job of journalism, about the amount of spending, economic assumptions, and the vast amount of change to the country that the 10-year blueprint implies for energy, education, health care, so much more. But which of these things that President Obama is doing surprises you? This is the larger point that Stan Greenberg was trying to make. Did he run on letting the Bush tax cuts expire on the top 2% and using the money to fund health care reform? Yes, he did. Did he run on a cap and trade system to curb global warming and reduce our dependence on oil? Yeah. Did he run, once the economic crisis hit, on an $800 billion stimulus bill? He did. Did he promise to get combat troops out of Iraq on a specified timetable? Yes. And did he run on fundamental change from the policies of President Bush? Obviously. And he won the most clear-cut victory based on these positions since Clinton trounced Dole in 1996. And yet the amount of change proposed by the president in the last week is leaving lots of Americans a little shell-shocked, and much of the media reacting like it all came out of the blue. So we're going to hear now from a supporter in general of the Obama agenda to make the case, Katrina Vandenhoevel, publisher of The Nation magazine and another participant on that ABC roundtable yesterday. Hi, Katrina. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Though I feel after your opening, I don't have much to add. I think you've said it all. I think maybe Americans aren't ready for a president who, for the most part, stays true to what he promised during the campaign. And I guess elections do have consequences, something we're not that we're used to, but not in this way.
Well, it is not in this way. It is a lot all at once, isn't it?
Well, I feel, you know, the nation is 144 years old, and I went back before the inauguration of Barack Obama to read the editorials written on the eve of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's inauguration. And there is that same spirit. I know this is a different world in some regards. This crisis is more complex in some ways than the one the nation lived through in the early 30s. But what Obama is doing is talking about redefining the role of government and talking about making it, and he did this in his good speech of last Tuesday. He talked about how in times of crisis at various points in our country's history, deeper crises perhaps, the Civil War and then the Great Depression, that there is a role for an active, smart government as a generator for economic development and growth, and that there is a ferocious urgency. He has used the word the fierce urgency of now, quoting Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., but there is an urgency, and all of these pieces are interconnected. We talk a lot about interdependence, but if you don't get the healthcare system fixed, if you don't look at the banks, and if you don't look at the underinvestment, the radical underinvestment that has gone on in this country while Republicans and some Democrats have tried to starve government of what it can do, you got to move on all fronts. And I think there's a kind of holistic understanding of that from President Obama.
I want to follow up in a minute on your idea of underinvestment. But listeners, we've got about 10 minutes for your most skeptical question about the Obama agenda as he has been laying it out day after day after day, one big thing after another all last week. 212-433-WNYC. Katrina Vandenhoevel, as you know, if you saw ABC This Week yesterday in their reporters' roundtable, very enthusiastic about the degree of change, the amount of change, for the most part, the types of change that the president is laying out here. What do you think? Are you a little shell-shocked? Did you vote for Obama, but you're like, wow, this and this and this and this too? People in the 250,000-plus income range voted majority for Obama. Are you a little shell-shocked if you are seeing the tax changes? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And you talk about past underinvestment, Katrina. The biggest criticism that I'm hearing, other than from people who, you know, are paid to oppose, is that the budget assumptions may be too rosy, maybe much too rosy, for the amount of spending he's proposing. If it's $600 billion for health care, plus $800 billion for the stimulus, plus $1 trillion for the banks, and everyone's firstborn for AIG, he's also assuming 3-4% growth in the next few years, starting next year, when we look more to be perhaps in a time of sustained recession. Can we predicate all this, well-intentioned as it is, on assumptions of rapid economic growth?
But Brian, let's go back to something. What is the alternative? I mean, right now, consumers are cutting back, employers aren't investing, exports have collapsed, state and local governments are facing severe cuts, and the only thing that can lift this economy and provide the demand we need is spending. And the underinvestment I spoke about, there's far too much attention to the deficit. Our deficit as a percentage of GDP is far lower than the much maligned European countries Republicans like to bash. But for decades, there has been, as you listeners have called in about, I assume, you've seen a redistribution of wealth upwards. What this is doing is rebalancing the wealth of this country. I mean, Joe the plumber can rail on, but the most wealthy need to be a fair share of the growth and prosperity of this nation. And I also think, and Peter Orszag on ABC this week yesterday spoke
Obama's budget director,
exactly. I'm sorry. He spoke of where they could get some of the cuts. I mean, you're looking at cutting military spending on Iraq. And I do think one weakness of this budget is that there is not enough attention to the bloated defense budget. I think that's going to need to be looked at. But also eliminating insurance company subsidies, reducing agribusiness giveaways, and letting the tax cuts for the wealthy expire. 95% of Americans will get a tax cut. And as the revenues come in, if this holds, there will be more. But it may be that there will be a battle royal come 2010, 2011 to see another round. I do think the stimulus plan, we're talking about the budget, but the stimulus may be a down payment on a larger program.
Renee in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Renee.
Yes, hi. My question is, I'm a huge Obama fan. I'm not in shell shock at all. But my question is, what kind of oversight is there going to be for these billions in bailouts that we're providing for the, for banks, for states? Who's going to oversee that? I know he said Joe Biden, but, you know, what really is the plan for overseeing that this money is going to be properly spent?
Katrina, are you familiar with that?
Good question. Listen, Joe Biden alone can't do this. There is money in the budget for some measure of oversight. But we had an interview in The Nation last week with Elizabeth Warren, who's been tasked as a member of the oversight of TARP, as I like to call it, the act rewarding plutocrats. We can talk about the banks for a minute. But she's saying
TARP,
that they're
underfunded. Say that again. TARP stands TARP, for what, Katrina?
The act rewarding plutocrats. but she's worried, rightly so, that her commission has been underfunded because she's tasked with oversight of how the money is being spent. I do think it's important. The Obama administration has spoken good words are not deeds, about transparency and accountability, and I think that will need to be factored in because there is room for corruption. Though I do think that Republicans or those opposed to this plan make too much of earmarks, make too much of small things, and make it seem like it's the whole world, and that is misinformation and unfair to the boldness of this plan.
Nancy in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nancy.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm listening with great interest, and I connect what you're saying today to what Frank Rich said yesterday in the New York Times, that the banking is the third rail of politics, and if they don't get the banking right, everything else is going to fail. And I'm concerned about the connection that all our congressmen and senators have to the banking industry, and I think it's a little too fuzzy the way Obama is presenting it.
So it goes back to our previous segment. You want him to be stronger with the banks. Bailey in Riverdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bailey.
Hey, it's Bailey Beacon. I am calling in to say that one of the things that I believe a lot of the pundits and certainly journalists are not reporting on, and I'm not sure where I read it, but I think last week there was an article that said that for those that are above the $250,000 income bracket and up even a little bit higher than that, that in fact the taxes will not be as onerous as everyone is painting because the alternative minimum tax will be rolled back.
Right, if the AMT goes away.
Right, so for those of us at a higher tax bracket, in fact, it's not nearly as bad as, you know, as I said, the journalists seem to be making it out. Anyway, I just thought that interesting.
Your caller is right. Not only is that the case, but there's been too much in the media about how these are tax increases. In fact, at the moment, the budget is simply saying that Obama will not we'll let the Bush tax cuts expire. I mean, I also think there's some other small things that are valuable to note. For example, increasing the taxes hedge funders and private equity people pay on what they claim is income. They've been paying capital gains tax rates at 15%. That will now be paid at income tax levels. Why should they get that kind of tax break? Even Warren Buffett has said, why should I be paying less than my assistant in taxes? On the bank front, I do think that if there are three pieces to Obama's boldness at this moment, one is the stimulus plan and then the budget and then the banks. I think that there was a lack of clarity and boldness as he talked about the government action needed to reorganize these zombie banks and get the credit system flowing.
And Katrina, we've got 1 minute left. Let me touch one other thing that Republicans are saying, and that is that it won't just be taxes that, you know, the tax cuts left to expire on the 250,000 plus Americans, but the cap and trade for carbon emissions is a tax on all Americans, including senior citizens on fixed incomes, they say, because it will cause oil and other traditional energy sources to get more expensive.
Well, in the budget, as I understand it, there's a tax credit for working people so that it doesn't become an additional burden on working people. But I do think the boldness of beginning to deal with the energy crisis and moving towards some sane energy policy is extraordinarily important.
Right.
And so it's going to take – the only thing I would say in closing is there are going to be huge battles ahead. The lobbyists, they're massing. They have not become community organizers, and it's going to require people around this country to stay vigilant in trying to push through a people's recovery.
Katrina, here's one from our website for you. A listener writes, thank you, Katrina, for telling Karl Rove on his new for calling Karl Rove on his newfound concern for fiscal responsibility on ABC yesterday.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, for every caller, at least as of right now, and it's not a scientific poll, but for every caller who is a little shell-shocked by all this stuff coming from Obama, we have more this morning who say, I'm not shell-shocked, I'm inspired. Maybe the change I voted for is going to come about. So he's got a lot of supporters out there, too. Katrina VandenHeuvel, publisher of The Nation, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, New York Magazine writer Jennifer Gonerman and a livery cab dispatcher she wrote about this week. We're going to go behind the scenes into the world of livery cabs. Stay with us.